Hi, welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats. Today we're joined by Pontus Berner from Berner & Becker. In our discussion, we look specifically at the German hotel market. We review how hotels have fared this summer, what might happen as we head into the autumn and winter, and finally, we hear what has been going on with Berner & Becker over the last few months. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started.
Hey Pontus, good to see you again. How are you? Are you well?
Hi Trevor, I'm very well, thanks.
How are you? Yeah, very good. We're getting used to these hot 35 plus temperatures. How are things in Germany? You roasting over there as well?
Yeah, we do. This week is a little bit better in Munich, but we've definitely had our 35 degree days, and those are pretty difficult to find some quality sleep. But it's okay. We can't complain with the weather. That's one thing for sure.
Nice to see a bit of rain and see. I saw some pictures recently, I think, of some of the reservoirs or rivers in Germany, because obviously we've got some, and they were like super low. I think we could all do with a bit of rain.
Absolutely. A bit of rain, and you know, it's a kind of a double-sided coin, right? Like if people enjoy the weather and then we put on more AC and then we just destroy the environment even more. So it's really shit, but you don't really know. If you have to look it from the bright side, you can at least enjoy that it's a good summer, but it's obviously sad with the global warming.
Absolutely. We're talking about good summers, and that leads us into what we want to discuss a bit on our topic today, just catching up on you. I mean, I know you guys, Berner & Becker, you work with a wide portfolio of hotels in cities, in leisure destinations, not just in Germany, outside of Germany, but I know our conversations have obviously focused in and around the German market of late. So we want to follow up a little bit on those, look at how the early summer, sort of May, June and July period, and how August and September may be looking. And then also we're going to do a bit of forward looking into a bit of speculation. What do we think may be happening? What are some of the trends that we might start to see as we go into autumn? So let me kind of throw it over to you at the moment for a bit of a general synopsis. How has the early summer period been? How are things looking at the moment?
Yeah, no, it's been good, actually. And I must say, I do enjoy us sitting down having a coffee chat again. It was a while ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I have water, though, to drink. It's been good. Obviously, like, we're coming out of Corona more and more, and it's been an interesting spring and summer so far compared to last year as well. What we see with our clients the last 2 years was that, you know, business demand obviously completely dead, and then leisure demand super strong, having record summers 2 years in a row in 2020 and 2021. And this year it's a little bit different. I think these kind of destinations that are a bit mixed between leisure and business, like Berlin, Munich and so on, they are coming very strong. So a bit more business travel is definitely also back than the previous 2 years, and that we can definitely see in the numbers. And interestingly enough, now in the summer, the leisure hotels that have been having two record summers, I wouldn't say struggle, but they're having, let's say, a challenge to reach the same RevPARs and ADRs and occupancy as the last 2 years, because the Germans now, again, or like, let's say, people in general in many countries travel abroad. Yep. So the domestic demand has been declining a little bit, and you have to fight for it to get it.
And that's what held up the markets through the last couple of years.
Exactly.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. And I'd say that the close international demand, like Austria, Germany and stuff like that. But so it's been a challenge a little bit this year. And I very much remember going into Corona in 2020, everyone was like, okay, how much international percent of, you know, arrivals did we usually have? Okay, 70%. Oh my God. Now I have to change the whole marketing strategy and everything to find a domestic demand, which kind of came by itself a bit as well. But let's say the biggest winners were the ones who could also leverage on that in their marketing and everything. And now, you know, hotels have to do the same thing. Like, okay, the domestic now is kind of gone or decreasing. So how do we get that?
How do we pivot back to what we were doing? Yeah.
And there, I think not many hotels have switched back in their focus. Okay. They were kind of counting a lot on like, it's going to be another domestic good summer. So those pure leisure destinations actually have a challenge with that. And we're working very hard with our clients to try to get that international demand back. Mm-hmm. But obviously the world is still not traveling as pre-corona times in terms of international long-haul travel, etc. So it's a bit of a destination thing, but in general, it's still a very good summer. And as I said, those other kind of mixed destinations, they are much stronger than also last year. So the hotel market in Europe and Germany, I think, when we come talk about quarter two and the first half of quarter three now, cannot complain for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And you've touched on the differences there around leisure and city. And I remember when we were talking back before, and the cities were literally single percentage points in terms of occupancy. So what kind of, have you got any numbers that have been coming through? Because I saw something this morning, I think on, I think STR were talking about Berlin hotel occupancy was just below 2019 rates at about just under 79%. ADR was just under 112 euros. RevPAR was just under 88 euros. But I mean, more broadly speaking, you got any sort of stats or data?
I actually managed to get some reports and compare them now with 2019. So it's actually interesting. If we, I'm going to open it up here on my computer so I don't say any wrong numbers. But looking at May, for example, let's just start with the market of Berlin. Had a RevPAR of 90.4. And in May this year, it had 86.9. So almost back on pre-corona level, right? Coming in June, however, 2019 was at 89.8, and 2022 is actually 100.6. So we're back at, like, we're beating 2019 in RevPAR. And this is, you know, the fresh reports from STR looking at all the hotels. And interestingly enough, both for May and June, if you look at the total Europe numbers, they are actually both in May and June stronger in 2022 than they were in 2019.
Wow. Okay.
So, and I think that goes hand in hand. I read a Bloomberg report that said quarter two European GDP rose 0.7% from forecasted 0.2. Mm-hmm. So it's also like the economy is strong, it's stronger than expected, and it definitely shows in the hotel numbers as well, and kind of confirms what we're seeing. And the interesting thing is with that demand, it really also translates to high ADRs. Like when we look at our client results, it's really the ADR that we're also able to push again, and where we beat the budgets and the targets and so on. So it's really cool to see that that's possible again.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And have you seen anything in terms of, I mean, you've mentioned how some of the pure leisure businesses, they've started to see some of the business drop off as the domestic travel is now traveling more internationally. Have you seen any differences in terms of the class of hotel? I don't know if you, what mix you have within your portfolio, and whether there's different impacts on 5, 4, 3-star budget. I don't know whether you've got any insights or thoughts on that. Because the reason for the question is I'm wondering how that's going to lead going forward, and we can touch on that on the next point, but I'm just interested whether you see anything on that side.
No, I think I understand what you're aiming to, and I also have my idea for what's going to happen. But I think in general what we've seen now is rather destination based and not much difference between the classes. So 3 to 5 stars that we handle, we see the same. Because I think just a lot of people still, you know, have that urge to travel. Business travel tends to be a lot in 4-star and a bit of 3-star as well.
Sort of all holding up pretty much across that makes sense.
But I couldn't, you know, this is my observation. I couldn't say that that's true.
And anything around the booking window? I know that was a lot shorter previously. Has that started to extend out, or is it still quite tight?
Actually, the length of stay are fairly okay. Actually, like the lead time is super short.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also something we're seeing. Because with the war, I think especially it's the main driving factor there, and a bit of the global economy factors as well. Now that people are a bit insecure, what will happen? How much will the prices rise? How much will this Ukraine-Russia war affect them in their home countries and everything? So I think like everyone is always a bit scared, naturally so, by the media, and then. But then when the month of your holiday comes along around the corner, then you get confident and indeed book your travel that you wanted. So yeah. It kind of leads to this very short-term pickup. But also I think the length of stay is it's also different depending on the market. But that pleasure travel demand, combining a bit of city weekends with some working from home from the hotel, definitely pushes the length of stay a bit up in some parts, and but also vice versa in some others. I can actually say for June, for Germany, the STR data shows that in RevPAR 2019, Germany was at 79.2, and in 2022, 81.4.
Okay.
And if we look at, so it's an increase, right? So
yep.
In the economy class, however, it was 58. Let's say they have changed the naming a little bit, but yeah. It's okay, wait, I have to see this. It's going to be interesting. I didn't look that into detail before, but let's take it the upper upscale class. They went from 106.8 in 2019 to 117.5 in 2022 for Germany.
So that's gone up as well.
And yeah, and if we take the mid-scale class, we're going from 58 to 63. So both are increasing.
So everything's going, yeah.
Yeah, everything went up, even for the mid scale or the upper upscale. So, but that could be different going forward.
I could imagine. And in terms of how the kind of the mood music from your clients at the moment, when we're looking more kind of near term into how August has been and what the feeling is for September, business on the books, that kind of thing, can you give some kind of insights into how that's feeling at the moment?
Yeah, I think like the early fall is good, strong, getting good business on the books, and everyone is a bit more worried than for quarter four and the winter time and the late fall, especially what will happen with the economy, recession, rising energy prices, interest rates, and everything of that. So there, everyone is a bit more cautious. It's quite cautious with, let's say, group requests that usually come around this point in time in terms of lead time for that period. So there's quite some less. But we had a team call this week on Tuesday, and then a colleague shared in the round that she now saw actually some good group requests coming in, also for quarter four. So that was kind of a positive sign. So I guess it will depend like how it actually turns out. But I think the demand will be there, but very short term if a good scenario is playing out.
Yeah.
If there are not too many external factors affecting the companies and people's travel budgets, etc. But so it's all going to be around that, I guess. And it will be important for what we do for hotels is, you know, a bit of scenario planning, just be prepared for ABC, and whatever we hold for realistic at the moment is, no one can really say you can just listen to experts and your judgment.
Do your best. we'll do a little bit of forward gazing in next as well. So I guess if I'm hearing what you're saying is that really, while the sun is shining, hotels are making hay while they can. Occupancy's up, RevPAR's up, ADR's up, demand seems to be up. So at the moment, pretty much across the board, most things seem to be in a much more positive state, which is really encouraging. I think shows the resilience of the hotel industry, probably the support that some of the governments have put in, but also the German market seems pretty solid and pretty stable. And the domestic market obviously seems to carry it through. Let's look ahead a little, as you kind of touched on that a moment ago, and think a little bit about, as you said, the late fall and into the winter. So almost we're kind of looking October, November, December time. I mean, you mentioned it, right? Rising costs. I mean, we've got the costs on businesses. We've got the costs on individuals for a leisure traveler. You've got the costs on the hotels to obviously, keep operating. I mean, I read something through the GBTA, which they were saying the meetings and event cost per attendee in 2022 by the end of the year is likely to have been 25% higher than 2019. And that's going to go up another 7% in 2023. I mean, air travel is still cheaper than it was pre-pandemic, but that's obviously increasing as well. So just as a broad base scenario before maybe some more specific questions, when you're thinking of the scenario planning and working with your clients, what are some of the issues that you're obviously considering and anticipating? What do you think some of the impacts might be?
So for sure, this rising cost inflation, that's a thing that, you know, we obviously help and support hotels to get through that and kind of regain that extra cost that they will come, like you mentioned, those percentage increases of 25% for a meeting delegate in their cost to, you know, so obviously an update in pricing is necessary. I think, however, some hoteliers might be a bit too anxious about the possibility of being dynamic and changing that in a short rapid of time and acting depending on the situation. Because if you have dynamic pricing, you can act dynamically and you can put the price anytime up a couple of euros. And it's important to also realize when we talk about this percentage increase, cost 25% for meeting delegates sounds a lot. At the end of the day, the cost of a meeting delegate is, 15 euros and 25% increase. We're talking about, 2 to 5 euros cost, maybe increase for a room, a delegate, and so on. And to charge €160, it's, quite like, but obviously it's going to be paired with the tricky thing in the winter is going to be, okay, if the demand stays and inflation is there, we can put up prices. That's easy. If you have contracts or a lot bound in fixed prices, it's a bit more challenging. You need to act now and act early. But it's always going to be paired with the demand, right? So if the demand drops as a result of that, then again, you have to be dynamic. So if you want any pick, you might have to adjust the rates accordingly. It might still, in theory, be kind of adjusted for inflation, because if you would have the same demand drop without inflation, you might sell even lower rates.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the pricing impact.
So it's all going to be that game of supply and demand, like we always have in our in our
business,
work, right?
Yeah.
And obviously there's and that's the scenario planning then. So what I think the biggest scenario planning that hotels needs to start early is to look at fixed prices, what they have, but also on the cost side a lot, right? So there we can guide them, share best practices from our other clients and so on. But at the end of the day, that's still cost management and not revenue management. We actually have a funny example, interesting example. It's a client that went out in the press actually and said, we're gonna put a put an extra charge on the bill. If you want your room higher than the minimum degrees, we will promise of 21 degrees during the day and 17 degrees during the night.
Okay.
In the room. And we had another client saying, I read that and I don't want to do that. The same for me. But this is, you have to...
Just a way of looking at adjusting.
I personally would probably recommend also to just bake it into the pricing and really bother the client with that. But that's, you know, price bonding, price unbonding strategies that you have to see per hotel what's necessary. But so there are a couple of creative ideas coming in that perspective, and
that makes sense.
we will have to simply act with the pricing as much as we can and bake as much in as possible and hope that the demand stays, but act accordingly depending on the scenario.
And as you say, it's always the kind of the yin and the yang, isn't it? Because if you continue to put prices up, how much does that then affect demand? And if demand starts to drop because of pricing rather than just general demand, then are you then forced into then lowering your prices to regain and capture what you are hoping to achieve? And so it's this continual balancing act between the two, isn't it? And I guess the question mark is, how much will we see overall demand drop irrespective of just what each individual property might be doing? And whether, again, do we see that, will it be the leisure that drops during the late fall and into the winter, as the impact might be more on household income as opposed to, and then will the cities with the corporate and the transient business and the meetings and groups business maybe hold a little bit more steady as businesses have started to come back and be traveling more? So we might almost see a slight change of emphasis possibly. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, like the costs that are coming are really going to hit the household economy, right? So the energy bills. I already have friends as well that receive letters from their owners of the apartment where they rent, saying that, you know, you need to start paying more, or you're gonna have to start saving because you're gonna have a big post bill. So when energy prices go up, and you know, that threefold for families, and then maybe also their interest rates are going up, and you know, then one of the first things probably that cuts away is the luxury spending, and travel is a part of that. So I also think that it's going to hit the leisure travel potentially quite hard, business travel maybe even a bit lower. But however, business travel is still on so much of a lower level than leisure, so it's not enough. So depending on how tough it becomes, we're gonna have that what you mentioned, that you talked with another person about this cliff edge scenario, now everything's booming, everyone just travels and uses the time, and as long as it still feels safe, you know, book your travel short term and go for it. But if the harder time come, it could take maybe an abrupt stop. But you know, I'm by nature an optimist, so I really hope that the stop won't be that tough. Like that can go, you know.
Yeah, sort of level off rather than just.
Yeah,
drop
but
off.
I hope it's a little bit level off only, I think the differences or the challenging part could be for hotels that, okay, there might be a bit of a tough winter, the drop might be there, but it's not going to be anywhere close, I think, to any lockdown drops of 2020, 2021 winter and so on. But the difference might be that governmental help won't really be there.
I was just going to say the drop off was greater, but the government stepped in this time. There's no sense that, you know, the focus seems to be on helping individuals to come through it, but not anything to the business side of thing.
No, and for the things that comes on the business side, I assume that that's going to be more a focus on the energy sector and so on, that really has an impact on that household costs, and not really make sure people can have afford that luxury spending, maybe. So first the essentials, right? To have a roof over your head and a warm home. But I think probably short-term labor in Germany, at least. Me and my business partner, Lars, we spoke about it. We think that that's still going to be there if times would be a little bit tougher, because it's always a better option for the government to have people in short-term labor than them being, you know, laid off and having to receive unemployment money from the government. That's more expensive for them. So they always make a win in trying to keep people in employment. But these like help packages that were there, those I don't believe that they're going to be there as much then. So, you know, it's just assumptions. But with that, with those assumptions, at least I think it's and I read that also from some renowned bankers and economists that focus on maybe going a little bit away from growth, but like fine tune and go into a profitability mode, so that you are, you know, standing very, very steady on the two legs before the winter comes. You have cash flow to, you know, to kind of brace for a small impact. Because the margins, you know, especially in the margins in the hotel industry, especially, are not that big. So if 20% goes away, you somehow need to have a backup plan. If it doesn't come from the government, you need to make it yourself. So, you know, it's going to be an optimization in a declining market, maybe a little bit. And their revenue measurement can make a huge difference still. You know, do you drop down 20% or only 10? That makes that huge difference.
Yeah.
And then the cost planning and, yeah, and then we just kind of have to wait and see, right, what's, which of the scenarios are going to play out.
It's all speculating, isn't it? Yeah. Just to, back to, we alluded to there would be a question in this section around the different class of hotels. Some people are speculating that not the upper luxury, because obviously that isn't doesn't seem to be as affected as obviously other sectors might be. But in that kind of mid-scale, upper scale, you know, do you think there may be, if people still want to travel, whether on business or leisure, but are still price sensitive, that we might see a choosing a different class of property to still achieve the business travel that might be necessary or the leisure travel, and so those maybe in the lower class might see an uptick slightly?
Yeah, I think based on what we have seen both in Corona and in the last financial crisis, what usually happens is that the mid and the kind of higher, a bit higher class, or like 4-star hotel market, they're the losers, because the really rich, they still have money, so they will still travel. Pretty sure that the Alp hotels in the high season and stuff in the winter will fill up fairly okay. But also the winners are the kind of the lower segment hotels. I know of a client to ours that focus on, they're like a 3-star product with hostel focus and not so much as a hostel, is a tiny bit, and then they have many rooms, but they have some rooms with like 4 and 6 beds inside. So they're normal target group is like school classes and stuff like this, and they're always full with that. And in the financial crisis, in the last one, they were just full with all that demand. They usually go into the 4-star properties, so they were actually super well in both. They survived that super well. So I could imagine that the losers are kind of the mid scale and the upper scale, but the upper scale will be strong still, and the lower like 3-star and so on, with smart marketing and, you know, with smart business strategy, they can probably get by fairly well.
Yeah, and I guess it could go both ways slightly. You know, you could be thinking of a 4-star stay and maybe reduce the length of the stay, and go a little bit more, almost treat yourself on a shorter stay and go a little bit more luxurious, or try and save some money and maybe shift into a lower class of property. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Final point, and then I do want to finish off by just hearing what's going on with you guys as well. I was reading another recent report that was talking about, I saw something where a prison had been converted into a hotel. There's a lot of change seems to be going on in the German market. I don't know how much you can talk to that or what you're hearing, but you know, you're seeing a lot of new properties are still coming into the market. So that will obviously have an impact as new hotels open up. You've got a lot more of this working from home. So this mixed use, using hotels as a bit of a workplace as well as staying, converting office buildings, schools into hotels. But then also the other way, you've got some of the inventory is coming out as some people are looking at hotels and turning them into like retirement homes, senior homes, or reverting back into residential units. Do you have any not deep insights into it, just what's the general vibe, or you know, is it just one of those constantly moving markets that the hotel industry always is?
I think the latter, and I would say I haven't read much or been into the topic lately, so I don't have any maybe super interesting examples or like in deep insights personally, but I think that what has been happening in the last 2 years is that hotel developers do a lot of investment and go into the leisure market. Mm-hmm. And there, I think we're going to see supply then in the next 2 to 5 years raising a lot, because takes a bit of time from planning stage to an open hotel. But I think that's a ship or the train that many have jumped on in the last 2 years. So that we see. And I guess, yeah, creative ideas, going, turning a prison, building a hotel underwater, up in a tree, or whatever it can be, is very fitting for the leisure market. And you see some brands also really pushing their leisure brands a bit more than some of the old corporate buildings. So I think, and I still think that some of these like pure business destinations, like Frankfurt or something, where you've had maybe a very focused business hotel focused in the outskirts, you're still struggling. You're still going to continue to struggle for a while. Converting of those back and so selling of those, et cetera, that is also still happening. So that the market is kind of cleaning up itself a little bit, I would say, with this new situation. Surely overall supply, if you would look in overall hotel numbers on the market and the forecast, then it's probably still raising, I would assume.
Seems to be from everything that I was reading. So again, that's another element to put into the pot to look at towards the end of the year, and probably more into 2023. But what's I think that's really useful. I'm conscious of your time as well. So before we kind of wrap up, what's going on with you guys? What's been happening at Berner and Becker?
Yeah, no good. So I think we're super busy. The summer is there, people have holidays, we are covering our hotels, everyone is working very hard and very well and reaching very cool results, so that's cool. And we have had a really good employee that's been with us for 4 years now, taking the next step in his career and opening up own shop, so that's really cool, and we're really proud. But obviously that creates also more work and stuff, but we're fine there. We're getting a new guy starting with us now in September, so that's really cool. So we're furthermore or forward looking also at growth. But as I said, we're also having that profitability thinking also for us as a company. So we want to make sure we go in on strong legs for the winter. But then we also make sure to celebrate, you know, it's Oktoberfest coming for the first time in 3 years, so definitely have a company table there and make sure to celebrate and drink some beer together as a team, so that would be really cool.
It's been a couple of years now since that's been back, isn't
What?
That's been a couple of years since that.
Yeah, it has. And I was about to hit my 10th consecutive year in 2020. So finally, I'm going to get there now. and I guess the consecutiveness still counts because there was none in between. But and otherwise, we're on the client side and let's say the professional side of things, we're rolling out the Profit Intelligence Business Intelligence tool, kind of across the board, and really like modernizing some of the processes also that we have inside the company that we can also streamline in such a BI tool. And yeah, we're constantly looking to push technology forward for the client with the pricing systems. But a big focus is on this Profit Intelligence Business Intelligence tool at the moment. So that's one of the bigger projects. And then it's, you know, future growth, profitable. We want to grow healthy. We're keen on, like, you know, not breaking process in that sense, but taking things that also fit where we know we can deliver maximum value and it's a good fit between us and the client. So it's cool. We're in a good position now.
Sound like a good place to be.
Continue. Then we keep ourselves up to date during the fall and following the situation, which scenario we're going to have. And
I think it's worth we can be revisiting this in a couple of months and seeing what we thought might happen and what actually did happen, and then look into 2023. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you go. Conscious of your time, really appreciate you carving out some time to sit and talk with us.
Cheers, Trevor. It was great talking to you again.
You take care.
Take care then. Ciao, ciao.
Bye bye.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Pontus for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.